Okay, we're in our study on personalities, and we looked at the sanguine personality, and now we started at with the choleric personality, and got about halfway through, and I'm gonna just start back with some, and probably be a little bit of an overlap, but I think you'll be all right with that. Okay, so. Looking at this choleric personality is an extrovert personality. Sanguine personality is extrovert. Choleric personality is extrovert. So, and here I'm saying these things from an extreme. Okay? Your secondary personality affects your primary personality. Okay? So just remember that. Basically, cholerics are unsympathetic, but, obviously, the personality, secondary personality, can affect that trait. Clerics have little tolerance for mistakes. They don't always analyze detail because trivia bores them. They want things done fast. Clerics often make rash decisions. They tend to be rude and tactless. Can be very demanding of others, and they can manipulate the people they're not bossing. Okay? They have a basic philosophy that the end justifies the means. And cholerics can often allow work to become their priority or even possibly their God. I mean, that's just the most important thing in their life. They demand loyalty in the ranks. Do like I say, or you fired. You know, that type thing. They tend to use people for their own advantage. They dominate others and often decide for other people. They tend to think they know everything, and they think they can do anything. They're too independent. They can be possessive of friends, and especially of a mate. They have a difficult time saying, "I'm sorry." There again, that depends on secondary personality. Cholerics often may be right, but they can become unpopular being right. You understand? So let me sum up this choleric personality with these words. Controlling, powerful, quick to act, decisive, exudes confidence, competitive, and tactless. Okay? Now here again, just I'm giving extremes, and you tie a secondary personality to that. The next personality we'll look at is the melancholy. All right? Melancholies have an insatiable desire for perfection. It must be right. Okay? They're deep and thoughtful. They can get lost in thought. Okay? They're analytical and deliberate rather than spontaneous. Like a sanguine and choleric will be spontaneous, melancholy is going to think about it. They're serious and purposeful. Life does have a meaning. Okay. They're very appreciative of things that help or appeal to them. They're sensitive to others. Consequently, they sacrifice for others. They're conscientious as well as idealistic. And that can get them in trouble because there's not an ideal world, if you haven't noticed. Melancholies are schedule-oriented. They detest being late. They set high standards, strive for perfection. They're detail conscious, persistent, thorough. That's who you want working on your airplane. Okay. They're orderly, organized, neat. And generally, melancholies are economical, frugal. Okay. They have the ability to see problems and find solutions. They feel an intense need to finish what they start. And here again, personality blend influences this trait, but where a sanguine can start a job and then start another job and then start another job, the melancholies do this, finish it, then do this and finish it. And so when a sanguine and melancholy are working together, they have to work out some problems. Anyway, so they like to finish what they start. They have the ability to see problems and find solutions because of their analysis. They diagnose, analyze. Okay? They like charts, graphs, figures, lists, outlines, things of that nature. They tend to remember the negatives. Melancholies are often moody or depressed. This, generally, when you talk about people being moody, it'll be a melancholy personality. You'll see that because they can get depressed when things aren't going right. Okay? Due to extreme concentration, melancholies may at times seem to be in another world. They tend to have a low self-image, which may be attributed to the high standard that they set for themselves, and they don't reach it. They set the standard so high they can't reach it, and then they get depressed, you know, and have a low self-image. And here again, the personality blend obviously influences this tendency either positively or negatively, depending on the secondary. Melancholy seem to have selective hearing, which is probably the result of deep thought, where a sanguine may not hear what you're saying because they're not interested. The melancholy is thinking about something else, all right? Melancholies are introverts. Now, the secondary personality will affect that trait. And they often suffer from persecution complex. They may feel that people or the system is against them. You're trying to do it right, and they're not cooperating. Any of you relate to that, right? They're more project-oriented than people-oriented. They can become hypochondriacs because they're so focused. Actually, a person that's a concentrator, if they have a pain, where sanguine's wanting to have fun or choleric or whatever, they'll press through the pain, where the melancholy personality has a tendency to think about the pain and then it can amplify, or the least little thing, and then they're trying to diagnose. They go into that mode so they can become hypochondriacs. I hope that fits none of you guys. If you do, get delivered. If it does. Jesus has provided for you. And so the new birth helps your personality. All right? Melancholies often become depressed because of imperfections. And a lot of that has to do with they get upset with themselves. You want to do something perfect, and you give it your best shot, and it's not perfect, and then you get depressed over it. Melancholy chooses difficult work, and that's probably related to their analytical abilities. So they like to be challenged. Melancholies are slow to start projects because they spend a great deal of time planning. And here again, the secondary personality blend can affect this trait positively or negative. Melancholies tend to prefer analysis to work. The secondary personality blend also affects that. Melancholies are very hard to please because they want everything perfect. Okay? They often set the standards too high to attain. I'll give you a good example of this. When we first started writing study guides, I wouldn't let people have them because I didn't think they were ready. And we'd go through them, 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 and they're just sitting there. Nobody's benefiting by it. And actually, the Lord dealt with me about it. You'll never have it perfect by your standard. You'll never have it perfect. So send it out. Everybody's not going to critique it. When you can become your worst critic, you understand? I can still be very critical toward the study guides. But we've learned some things in all this. Okay? Melancholies have a deep need for approval since they're not satisfied with themselves. Now, your secondary personality will affect that as well. Melancholies tend to be socially insecure. Often they're withdrawn and remote. They're more apt to respond and initiate. And that can be misread by other people. And here again, secondary personality affects that, but I'm a responder, which is really is a handicap when you go into ministry, especially when you're visiting people or someone asks you to talk to somebody and you're not a person that initiates conversation. And I know this was, I mean, this would just get me in a knot to begin with, to go in, walk in a room with somebody you don't know, and you try to initiate a conversation. That's like beating your hand with a hammer. I mean, it was a painful experience, you know. So the Lord has done a lot of miracles in my life, I can tell you that. So that can be misread as stuck up, well, things of that nature. And in reality, it's an insecurity. But people don't see that as an insecurity. They can often misread it. And these are things, thank God, through the Holy Spirit and God just working in an individual's life, that these things can be changed and must be changed. These are weaknesses that we're looking at. All right? Melancholies have a tendency to be critical of others. They're perfectionists, so what are they going to see? All your faults. And they tend to dwell on your faults, not on your qualities. Okay? I had to learn a lot. I did some damage, you know, as my kids was growing up. I could tell them what they was doing wrong. I just didn't spend much time telling them what they was doing right. And that can give you negative results, okay? And then melancholies are notorious for withholding affection when things have not gone well for them. This is areas, you know, you have to deal with, especially in ministry, when you feel like, you know, people have done you wrong or whatever. And then I've had to really work with the fact, you don't want to be around me, you won't have a problem, because I won't come around you. And so the Lord had to work in my life on all that, you know. But here again, that's a weakness of the personality. Melancholics dislike people that oppose them. Well, so does a choleric. But the melancholy is pretty intolerable. They're suspicious of people. You wonder what they're up to, if they compliment you or whatever. Very skeptical of compliments. They tend to be unforgiving. Now, here again, that was an area God really had to deal with me about. Because, you know, that do me wrong, shame on you. Do me twice, shame on me. I won't give you that opportunity again. And then, yet the Bible says, forgive not seven times, but 70 in a day? Come on. So God's not going to condone that weakness of that personality. God didn't give you the weakness. Okay? So those are things we have to work on. Melancholies tend to be antagonistic and vengeful. I don't get mad, I get even. You understand? You have to get delivered from that. And so the following words best summarize the melancholy personality: perfectionist, organized, depressed, scheduled, unforgiving, and a planner. Finally, we get to this last personality, this phlegmatic. They have a very low-key personality, a phlegmatic does. They're easygoing, relaxed, calm, cool, collected, patient, well-balanced. They have a consistent, even-keel life. No highs, no lows. They just happily reconcile to life, you know, that type person. They're quiet but witty, sympathetic and kind, but they usually keep their emotions hidden. There again, it'll depend on their secondary personality. They're happily reconciled to life. The phlegmatic is just a basic, all-purpose person. If you can't get along with a phlegmatic, you can't get along with anybody. That's just the way it is, all right? They're competent and steady. They're peaceful, agreeable, not easily excited. I have said of some of my friends, you couldn't get them excited if you set the seat of their britches on fire. They just take things in stride. Tend to meditate on problem situations, and they're very cautious to avoid conflict. A phlegmatic does not like conflict. Even to the point of compromising when they know they're right, just to avoid conflict. They're usually good under pressure. They always look for the easy way. Whether at work or at play, they want to know the easy way to do it. They do not threaten other personalities. They're actually pleasant, enjoyable, inoffensive. I'm thinking about we were moving a piano for my daughter. I have two brothers, and Pat was with us, and One of my brothers is phlegmatic. One is extremely choleric. And then I'm melancholy. Well, my perspective is I don't want the piano scratched. Okay? One of my brothers is choleric. They said, I've got a furniture repairman. If it gets scratched, he can just repair it. And the other one who has the phlegmatic, he said, well, let's find out the easy way to do this. You know. Now, the choleric is wanting to do it the fastest way. The other one's wanting to do it the easy way. And I don't want that piano scratched. Pat thought we was going to fight. He's just standing back and watching this circus. We got it in without scratching it. Anyway, phlegmatics are excellent listeners. They enjoy watching people. They're known for their dry sense of humor. They display compassion and concern. So consequently, a phlegmatic has many friends. You can't help but like a phlegmatic personality. Because they're going to be non-offensive, you understand. But they are unenthusiastic, fearful, worried, indecisive. And it seems like it takes them forever to make a decision. Okay? They avoid responsibility. They'd rather for somebody else to take charge. Now, always remember that secondary personality affects this, okay? They have a quiet will that can be extremely strong. You push them, and when they've had all they're going to take, it's like dynamite exploding. They have that strong will about them, okay? So, don't push them. Phlegmatics they can be selfish and self-righteous. They're usually shy and compromising. They're people-oriented, not goal-oriented. Consequently, they often struggle trying to reach goals. The phlegmatic is not generally what you're seeing as the supervisor over people where there's production. Okay? That's where the choleric comes in. To where he can drive that to get the production. Okay? Phlegmatics often struggle trying to reach their goals because of that strong motivational force in them. They lack self-motivation. Usually hard to get moving. They have a tendency to lay in bed, you know. I won't go there. Other personalities can do the same thing, I suppose. But phlegmatics have a tendency to be lazy and careless, and they resent being pushed. They have the ability to discourage others. They would rather watch than participate. They tend to dampen enthusiasm because they don't get very excited. You have what you think is a great idea, and they have a ho-hum attitude about your great idea, okay? They prefer to stay uninvolved, and the reason for that is because it prevents stress and it also conserves energy. Phlegmatics are often indifferent to plans, whatever, you know. Go ahead, you know, and they'll go along with it. They tend to judge or evaluate others, and they can be very sarcastic. They resist change. They see change as an unnecessary effort. Okay? So, the phlegmatic personality pursues peace, and if necessary, he or she will compromise for what is right for the sake of peace. You understand? So the phlegmatic is basically a very pleasant, friendly personality that is not going to compete with you unless you push them too far, something like that. They're a good employee because they'll be steady as they go if they can get there on time. All right. We've given you a thorough look, I believe, at each personality type. And it's important to remember that all these traits do not fit you in your particular personality, okay? You may not have some of these extremes. Now, what I'd like to do is just go back and summarize these personalities in just a short paragraph. All right, sanguines are popular, playful, talkative, dramatic, animated, emotional, childlike, gullible, happy, full of energy. They're extroverts who tend to exaggerate and dwell on trivia. Okay? Cholerics are powerful, domineering, compulsive, strong-willed, independent, competitive, bossy, impatient, quick to act. They excel in emergencies, and they need to be in control. They think. They must be in control. Melancholies are analytical. They're deep and thoughtful, serious and purposeful, self-sacrificing, schedule-oriented, detail-conscious, unforgiving, vengeful, easily depressed. They're perfectionist. Phlegmatics are peaceful, easygoing, consistent, quiet, sympathetic, compassionate, unenthusiastic, and uninvolved. They're all-purpose people, mediators, good listeners. Phlegmatic, they resist change, lack motivation, and have a quiet, strong will. Now, each of these four personalities can be compared to the ocean. All right. For instance, sanguines are like waves. They crest, they crash. They're either high or low, but they recover quickly from their lows because they are a positive personality. Melancholies are like the tide. They systematically move in and out. Depressed melancholies recover slowly. Like a sanguine could get depressed, but they'll bounce back. Your manic depressive people would probably, most of them, fall in that melancholy category. All right? Cholerics are like the tempest. They force and drive and control. Phlegmatics are like calm seas. They invite others to take advantage of them. Okay? Now remember, each of these personalities there's more than one category in most cases. Some people may be off the wall, but each individual generally will fall in two of these personality categories. One is a dominant, one is a secondary. Although I have looked at some papers here that some of you are in all four categories very high, which just tells me you're either a well-balanced person or a very confused person. Okay? So we need to develop a good understanding of these personalities because I believe it enhances our relationship with one another, our working relationships, partner relationships, mate relationships, and all this by understanding the personality. Now, I want to give you natural personality combinations, and this will help you understand why it's some of these scoring high in opposing categories is a conflict. All right? So, sanguine choleric or choleric sanguine personality combination is normal. And it's a common personality mix, okay? Also, a sanguine phlegmatic or a phlegmatic sanguine personality is a normal combination, normal mix, all right? The melancholy phlegmatic or phlegmatic melancholy personality is a normal and common personality mix. Or a melancholic choleric or choleric melancholic personality combination, that's a normal mix. Okay? Now, these combinations may vary in different individuals. You can have, say, like a melancholy phlegmatic that may be like 50-50 or 60-40, something like that. Or it can be 90-10, you know, just depending on the individual. And sometimes you'll see, you know, a very dominant personality. Okay? Now, there are unnatural personality combinations. Sanguine, melancholy personalities are opposite personalities. Now, just think about it. A sanguine is an extrovert. A melancholy is an introvert. So, you're saying, I'm an extrovert-introvert. Well, obviously you're not. So, you've adapted and learned some traits, if you've been honest in your evaluation. You may have adapted and learned some traits in an area, but what comes natural to you? And so usually when you're adapting to please, it takes more effort. Where a natural personality is just, it's effortless. It just, that's what comes natural. So, it's unnatural for an individual to possess primary and secondary characteristics with conflicted personality categories. But traits can be learned, and we'll get talked about this later, but it's often called masking a personality. So if you score high in both of these personality categories, it probably means that you've succumbed to an imposed personality trait. Now, there's things that can cause this to happen. Let's say that you may not be a choleric, a natural-born leader. You've always been a follower. But you get put in a situation to where there's no leader. And you'll find this happen, you find it happen in marital relationships when a mate dies. The other one has to take up the slack. They don't have a choice. So if they weren't the ones making the decisions, now all of a sudden, because of circumstances, they have to make decisions. And it's usually stressful to begin with when they do this. But after a period of time, you can get comfortable in that you learn that particular trait, so it's not stressing you out. Okay? And so, don't be surprised as you go through life and you face different circumstances that your personality changes a little bit because of adapting to various situations for whatever reason. Another case can be to where you have a stronger let's say you have a strong personality, but you're in a position to where a stronger personality has authority over you. Then you have to adapt for survival, and you can actually view yourself as phlegmatic, when in reality, your true personality is choleric, but you're taking on phlegmatic traits because of the situation that you're in. Okay? Choleric, phlegmatic personalities are opposite personalities. Here again, phlegmatic's introvert, choleric's extrovert. Phlegmatic is passive, choleric's controlling, anything but passive. And so to say I'm a passive controlling person doesn't make sense, does it? All right, these are things that we're looking at. So it's unnatural to possess. I'm not saying that you may not have these traits. I'm just saying this, it didn't come natural to you. You had to work to get there. Work through some things because of whatever. The environment has a lot to do with that. And here again, environments can change. And when the environment changes, you have to adapt for survival or you don't survive. Okay? One who scores high in an unnatural personality combination, it's probably a victim of suppression or demand, one or the other. And that unnatural personality mix is the result of your adapting. Okay? And I'm not trying to change your personality. You be what works best for you. But don't stress yourself out. The bottom line is be who God ordained you to be. Okay? Be who God ordained you to be. And we'll talk about this a little more. My time's up here, so we'll stop. We'll take our break. And then we'll talk about some personality similarities to where people, why people can get confused in scoring in certain categories.